Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, the one and only Stephen A. Smith, coming at you as I love to do every week, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM, POTUS Radio, channel 124. The number to call up, as always, is 866-96-POTUS. That's 866-96-POTUS, 866-967-6887. I can't wait to talk to y'all today. I was looking so forward to this show because I wanted to say to the American people, I wanted to say that you hear the footsteps of the Democratic Party creeping up on you. Do you hear the footsteps? Because if you don't, you should. Regardless of what the president would want you to say, the 47th president of the United States of America, who wants you to believe everything is beautiful, everything is marvelous, everything is just great, we're wonderful, A plus, 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 when it comes to the economy. That dude, that's what he wants you to believe. And by the way, one could easily surmise if he was a bit, I wouldn't say the word loquacious, but if he was a bit more clear, you know, and cogent, to say the least, maybe that message would come across. But unfortunately, the pettiness that he engages in can serve to be somewhat of a distraction. And at this particular moment in time, I'm here to tell you that the Democratic Party is gaining traction. No matter how they want to slice it, no matter how they want to slice it. The bottom line is this: you already won the mayoral seat in New York City with Zohran Mamdani. You already won the gubernatorial seat in New Jersey, okay, with Mickey Sherrill. You already won the gubernatorial seat in Virginia with Abigail Spanberger. Okay, and just recently, yesterday, you had this wonderful woman named Higgins in Miami who won the mayor's seat, despite the fact that her opponent was endorsed by Governor Ron DeSantis as well as President Donald Trump. Now, the Republican Party will have you believe that, you know, that means absolutely nothing. And I'm looking forward to two guests to talk to today. One's on the left, because his name would happen to be Colin Allred. He's a former U.S. representative for Texas's 37th Congressional District. Made headlines this week when he announced he was dropping out of the Texas Senate race to run for Congress instead. He will be on the show today. And after he's on the show, we'll have junior senator from Arkansas and chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Senator Tom Cotton out of Arkansas. He will be on the show as well. They'll both have sides to express, no doubt. They will take the position that their side is winning. I'm here to tell you the Democratic Party is gaining traction. That is a big deal to me. It's a big deal to me because I think that the Democratic Party has been an absolute mess for the last several years. I think some of the things that transpired during the Biden-Harris administration was a travesty. And some of the things that was going on was not sustainable. It was not the kind of thing that should be sustainable in a capitalist society, in a democratic society like the United States of America. And I thought it was reprehensible. Some things, not all things, not most things, but some things. And I thought that the manner in which they campaigned, with 107 days left after Biden dropped out and Kamala Harris had 107 days left in order to win the election, I didn't think it was the most perfectly run election, to say the least. I thought the ball was dropped on several occasions. And although most of the blame, in my opinion, didn't fall on her shoulders, she was certainly culpable in certain respects, particularly when she went on The View and they asked her if there's anything she would do different than Joe Biden. And she was like, I really can't think of anything. She lost the election right there. But that's neither here nor there, because right now it's Trump's turn. And the reality of the situation is, as the president of the United States, when I saw him campaigning yesterday in the Poconos in Pennsylvania, I actually was proud. I said, oh, he remembers America after all. Because they've been all over the damn world. Every place but here campaigning. And one time after another, whether it was egg prices, gas prices, price of bread, price of mortgages, etc., A lot of noise was being made about what's going on in this country. And we even heard him allude to the affordability issue being a hoax being pushed forth by the Democratic Party. But you know what's gotten real? What's gotten real was the shutdown. What's gotten real was SNAP programs. What got real was the Affordable Care Act and its subsidies that are set to expire January 31st, where premiums in our health care will rise exponentially if the Republicans and the Democrats don't come to an agreement in some capacity. And a vote is being set to be put forth by the GOP tomorrow, as in Thursday, that's not expected to pass. The Democrats, their stuff is not expected to pass, which means no accord has been reached, which means that we inch ever so closer to premiums in our health care having an incredibly detrimental effect on citizens throughout this country. And something has to be done to address this matter. The reality, however, is that both sides, in their own way, dare I say, came across on far too many occasions already by hinting that, you know something? It could be to our advantage because the other side is going to be blamed. Of course, they don't say that directly, at least on camera while people are watching, but we know that's what they're doing. You're a Democrat, what are you thinking? The vast majority, I'm talking about the chunk, even though the Affordable Care Act subsidies are available in every state in the union, the reality is that it's being primarily used in red states because there are a larger quantity and number of people in those states, whether it's Texas, it's Florida, and Georgia and beyond. And guess what? A lot of those people need the Affordable Care Act subsidies. They need their ACA subsidies to prevent or to deal with the price of health care. And so because that's their reality, and they're in Republican states, even though the Republicans would be quick to blame the Democrats, your constituents ain't trying to hear that. What they want to hear is whether or not you're going to get it done. Or you're going to figure out a way to resolve this matter so we don't have these exorbitant bills coming down the pike where we go from paying $250 a month or something like that to over $2,000. They ain't trying to hear that. Something got to be done to resolve that. And that's why you're seeing, and this is what I love about what I'm seeing right now. I love that I see, even though I'm no socialist, I love that Mamdani is making noise. I love that Spanberger and Sherrill are making noise. I love that Higgins just made noise in Miami. I love that Gavin Newsom is gaining some traction in the areas of popularity as it pertains to him going after Trump and how his name is cachet, even though he's scheduled to leave office next year. It's a good thing because he's going to want to run for president. Because you know why? What it's going to do to me is tell the Democrats, excuse me, this is working. We don't have to talk about woke culture. We don't have to talk about cancel culture. We don't have to talk about the things that don't really, really, really have anything to do with our pocketbook or our wallets. We're talking about issues right now of affordability. And Trump can call it a hoax all he wants to. The American people out there that's going to the supermarket, they don't feel that way. They're like, what's up? What you gonna do about this? In fairness to our president, regardless of how you may want to feel about it, it is important to point out a couple of things. Number one, we are approaching 3 straight years of growth in the equity market, in the stock market. Now, granted, 3 years, Trump only been back in office for 10 months, 11 months. So guess what? Since you only been back in office for 11 months, you can't take away the 2 previous years that the stock market was up with Biden in office. Okay? He didn't have much to do with the interest rates because that's the feds, but the bottom line is Biden had something to do with the stock market being up. But Trump certainly hasn't derailed the stock market in a negative way. So we got to give credit where credit is due to that. Consumer health. Let's think about that here. Talking about inflation, you know, student loans, inflation, et cetera, et cetera. Consumer health, according to my experts in the banking industry and on Wall Street, they say it's pretty steady. Now, we understand they're not the average consumer out there. So the average consumer is saying, wait a minute now, what's really going on here? But the bottom line is they're saying, hey, consumer health is pretty steady. Folks are still investing. Folks are still employed. That obviously matters. And the S&P 500, just in case you care, as of an hour ago, was up 17.4%. as of an hour ago. And oh, by the way, when you consider consumer debt, because that's something a whole bunch of people pay attention to, almost 70%, specifically 67%+ of the debt that consumers have in this country is their residential mortgage, which means that you have a home, which means that it's gaining equity, which means that in a roundabout way, your value is elevating. Trump is able to live off of that and use that as an excuse to say, what affordability issue are you talking about? Here's the problem. No disrespect, but he ain't the most articulate brother in the world. And sometimes his rambling, the message gets lost. And because the message gets lost, the Democrats are able to focus on other issues. And when he says stuff like, because we know this is not true, there's no such thing as of an economy that's A plus, 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 which is what he said. It's what he said, ladies and gentlemen. There's no way around that. It's what he said. And when you say stuff like that, the Democrats are able to point to the fact that you're embellishing, at the very least, bloviating about something that's not true. And as a result, they're able to pounce on you because they're attaching your level of believability. And you, and they're reminding folks that you, the billionaire, who obviously has gotten exponentially richer over the last 11 months, which is where we won't go today. It's one of those situations where you're looking at him and you're saying, does he really relate to the trials and tribulations of the average American citizen? One of the things that I pointed to the Democrats about with a very piercing point, by the way, because I was utterly disgusted with them, is that you allowed this man, this billionaire, born with a silver spoon in his mouth, born well off, okay, on third base from the time he came out of the womb, you had this man looking more normal than you. Which is as egregious as it gets for the Democratic Party. You were detached. You weren't focusing on the issues that affected the average everyday American. You weren't listening when we were talking about affordability. You weren't listening when we were talking about an immigration crisis, and instead you were walking around denying it. You weren't listening when we were talking about safety in the streets. You weren't listening to those things. But you are now. You are now. And I sit here today, and I got to tell you, I'm more excited about the Democratic Party than I have been since Trump returned to office. Because I want a real fight. I want a real fight over the issues. I don't want to see a slaughter. I don't want to see a romp like I saw in the 2024 election. I don't want to see the Democrats getting their ass kicked time and time and time again. I don't want to see you winning either if it's over issues that we don't really, really care about in a grand scheme of things. Care about everybody. Nobody is detached. Everybody matters. But the bottom line is, I want to see us caring about the issues that permeate the souls of most Americans in this country. And that's affordability. That's the economy. Inflation. It's not as bad. It needs to improve and be better, but it's not awful. But you want those issues to be the kind of stuff that's talked about. You want to know that you can pay your mortgage. You want to know that you can go out and afford to buy a home. You want interest rates coming down. You want all of that. And the Democrats, lo and behold, have been focusing on that. So much so that Representative Jasmine Crockett has made news. Guess who's running for the Senate seat in Texas? Now, if you recall, I made noise and it was a whole brouhaha because I had the temerity and the unmitigated gall to ask a question. If cussing the president out and calling him a piece of shit publicly, is that going to work for you? Because you got 766,000 constituents and he's petty enough to make them pay for how you come at him. Now, this is a woman that's highly accomplished and highly intelligent. She's a lawyer by profession, by trade. She's licensed to practice law in the state of Texas, in the state of Arkansas, and federally. I believe I'm the one that came on these airwaves and said, I want that woman running for Senate. And sure enough, little old Stephen A. Straight shooter with Stephen A. evidently is the provocateur or the prognosticator in chief. Because now she's going to run for Senate. Now, Do I think she has a snowball's chance in winning? No. A producer of mine didn't want me to say it. That's the only reason I said it. Because I don't like him trying to tell me what the hell to say. So I said it, okay? You understand? And next time, I'll tell y'all his name and his address if he keeps agitating me. Obviously, I love him, so I'm only playing. But that's my point. When I say that I don't think she has much of a chance of winning in Texas, it's not because of Jasmine Crockett. It's because of Texas. Texas is 13% black. It's 40% Hispanic. It's 40% white. It's Texas, y'all. They ain't been a Democrat elected to the Senate over 30 years. Now, that don't mean I'm right, because there wasn't anybody that was elected mayor in Miami that was a Dem, you know, over the last 30 years or so. And Higgins pulled that off. Aileen Higgins, props to her. Maybe Jasmine Crockett can pull something like that off. That's 31 million people in Texas. I'm going to say it again. Texas. It's different down there, folks. It is. The Republican stronghold on that state is very palpable. It's very, very palpable. And we can't deny it. But what, even if she doesn't win, it doesn't mean that it's not a great move. There's a reason Colin Allred decided to back off. Because her popularity speaks for herself, her ability to campaign and, you know, to raise dollars is undeniable. And if you're a Democrat and you're running in the state of Texas, oh, you want it to be somebody like a Jasmine Crockett now, who is unapologetic about the noise that she intends to make. Ain't no doubt about that. I'm just saying, it's Texas. A little bit different. A little bit different. She has a district in outside Dallas, and I got that part. And Austin, Texas seems a bit liberal to me when I'm there. Every place else, when they say it's a Republican stronghold, I feel that Republican stronghold every time I go to Texas. It's a bit different. It's a bit different. And as a result of that, it's going to be an incredible challenge. But the beauty of Jasmine Crockett running for the Senate seat in Texas is that it certainly won't quell her popularity or stymie it in any way. It'll only grow. The campaign, her ability to raise dollars is also an incredible asset. And as her cachet grows and her ability to raise money exponentially grows, she'll be that much more influential. And because she's that much more influential and she'd be somebody to be reckoned with, it'll be a plus for the Democratic Party for the 2028 elections. A few months ago, I thought the Democratic Party was dead in the water. I thought it was on a fast track to nowhere, devoid of any kind of leadership whatsoever, devoid of a national voice, talking about issues that the average American citizen could give 2 cents about in the grand scheme of things, because they had their own problems. Now, regardless of what the Republicans try to say and try to deny, I feel something different percolating. I feel like, yo, okay. All right, Gavin Newsom, I don't like your affordability. I mean, I think California, the only thing you're falling back on is a weather tax, because Lord have mercy, it's expensive as hell to live here. But the weather's so beautiful. The cities are so beautiful. The state overall is beautiful, even with homelessness, even with crime, even with affordability issues. Who knows what kind of noise you could make? I still think it's a long shot with Gavin Newsom, but who knows? The man's articulate and looks the part. And if he moves to the center and is committed to that and stays there, Who knows what he could do? If Jasmine Crockett pulls off what I believe would be a miracle in winning a Senate seat in Texas, who knows what that could lead to? Who knows? You got Hochul in New York as a governor. You got Sherrill and Spanberger coming in New Jersey and Virginia, respectively. Mom Donnie's already been to the White House. And he ain't even in office yet. He's mayor-elect of New York. He ain't even in office yet. And we know what Trump did in Florida, in that area in Miami, during the election. They weren't supposed to lose. But even when DeSantis and Trump supporting Elaine Higgins' opponent, Mr. Gonzalez, it didn't work. She still won 49 to 40%. Change is coming, y'all. Change is coming. I'm not saying I'm completely sold on it by any stretch of the imagination, but the romp that I anticipated that was taking shape within the world of politics as it pertains to general elections and what have you, suddenly I'm seeing light at the end of the tunnel. The Democrats seem to be sensing what this is all about. Stick to the issues of the Affordable Care Act. Highlight how the Republicans don't have a plan and you did. Stick to the issue of affordability. Stay away from that identity politics and woke culture and all of that. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Don't even bother with it. Because it's not a winnable item for you. If they listen, if they hear me, they might have a chance. And Trump knows it. And so does his team, which is why they were out campaigning in the Poconos yesterday. He's hearing the footsteps. The Dems just might be coming. And obviously, he can't help himself. So his rhetoric and his dispositions and his willingness to be chaotic and to be insulting to a lot of folks out there, particularly with what he has said about some of these women, is the kind of thing that makes folks say, we really don't need this. It ain't gonna make them vote for the Democrats in favor of his successors, the J.D. Vances or the Marco Rubios of the world, or even potentially a Ron DeSantis. But it's possible that he can turn them off enough, turn folks off enough to ensure that whether it's the Senate or the House or both, that Democrats regain power in 2026. And if that happens, all bets are off. That's why he was in the Poconos yesterday. That's why he was in Pennsylvania yesterday. He's hearing it. And so are a whole bunch of Republicans worried about their own futures on Capitol Hill. I don't mind it at all. Not even a little bit. 866-967-6887 is the number to call up. That's 866-96-POTUS. You are listening live to Straight Shooter with Stephen A. Up next, Colin Allred, looking to be a representative out of Texas in the House of Representatives for the United States. He's a Democrat. He's up next, right here with Straight Shooter with Stephen A. Don't go away.